You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
There were some pretty gross quotes coming out of Dana White.
Gross.
About Francis Ngannou going off and getting out of the not free relationship that he had with Dana White. Dana White is chasing this person around to create the narrative that somehow that dude is a coward, afraid to take risks because he wouldn't accept Dana White's shitty contract terms. And Dana White just wants to control the narrative business of, no, I didn't run off somebody who everybody wants to see fight. He doesn't want to fight John Jones. That guy's afraid of anybody. Okay, this is what Dana White does. It's smart to try and control the narrative, but it's old. It's not very creative. He's been doing it for a long time to conceal bad business practices that abuse how he pays fighters, how little equity and freedom they get from breaking their backs for him. And Ngannou, just leave him alone, right? Because Ngannou's just saying, what's your problem with me? I left and I went and signed for equity over here. Like, why are you still coming after me? It's because Dana White's now going to go compete with that thing too. He wants all the fighting sports. He wants all the fighters under control. He doesn't want the fighters to have any power. He doesn't want any unions around his sport.
You're right. It's not terribly creative. It's but it's worked for Dana thus far. It's gotten him this far. Oh. Those tactics have gotten him this far where he, listen, you're not going to conform. Okay. Next move, I challenge your manhood.
But it's just, okay, and if you don't see what it actually is, you're the fool if you're the one who doesn't understand that he's just trying to control narrative. But in the era, Stugatz, of these guys all realizing, like Floyd Mayweather did, the original pay-per-view, a hugely smart businessman, even though 50 Cent and Conor McGregor will make fun of his illiteracy. Hugely great businessman. The original streaming service, Floyd Mayweather, taught these guys years ago, your brand matters. And Ngannou, in a fight against anybody, in a boxing ring, in an octagon, anywhere, he is now a name who has value, and he will keep a larger percentage of what he's doing for risking his body than Dana White will get. They've all learned, like Tyson Fury, who now calls out Joe Rogan. When Joe Rogan says, if Tyson Fury were in a room together with John Jones would escape because it's the mixed martial arts. And Tyson Fury, street fighting gypsy, whose family, generations, fight in the street for money. That guy says, no, let's make that a pay-per-view. Put me in a room with him and see who will come out. And we'd all pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
A room match.
Just a room.
Who gets out first?
Who gets out? No submissions. Just who gets
one
out of the room?
Stick, we break it in half. No? Too aggressive?
But how stupid is all of this? That these guys have realized they don't have to play for teams. They don't have to be managed. They can just do what Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather did, which is have a fight with your mouth and have Floyd carry Conor all over the ring.
Carry? Yes. Did you watch the fight? I mean...
It's such a stupid, great strategy that will fool the people with their circus.
I don't need a league, a sport, an agent, anything. I want to fight you. You want to fight me? Good. $20 million.
Tyson Fury will now put it out there that, sure, whatever, my next fight might be in Ngannou somewhere, in a cage, in a ring, or John Jones. Just get me to giant paydays that people want to watch circus freaks fight.
Whoever I want, wherever I want. I mean... Wow, getting out of a room first. That is a new level of fighting. I love it.
A lot of names of just bad dudes in that.
Literally, like, and figuratively.
Names of bad men. Should we talk about the PGA Championship next? LIV Tour golfer winning?
What, Koepka?
What a story Michael Block was, huh?
He was the real winner. I will say this about Brooks Koepka. He has 5 majors at the age of 33. So figure 10 to 12 more years in his prime, because golf prime is like 33 to 45, they say. So he's got, I don't know, 44, 48 more majors. Like, he is on track to catch Tiger and catch Jack. He really is. Five majors at the age of 33, three PGAs, I think a U.S. Open or two, hasn't won Augusta yet. But once he wins Augusta, because he's finished second twice there, and he should have won it this past year, once he gets and figures that course out, he's going to win that thing like five or six times.
How do you figure he should have won it this year?
I mean, he was so close. He always closes.
But, like, does that mean he should have won it?
I mean, he had a good chance of winning it. You know, two out of the last 3 years.
Just feel like you Koepka need to put usually, some respect on Jon Rahm's name.
That's totally fair.
Closing out a major after a rain delay like that.
Right. But he usually closes in that spot, Koepka. And he didn't at Augusta, but he did yesterday. And that was fun to watch. But Chris is right. The big winner from yesterday was not Brooks Koepka. It was not the winner. It was Michael Block with a hole-in-one. You never, ever, ever see a hole-in-one that way.
And this guy was just playing all the notes post game with just like anytime anyone asked him any question, he started crying.
Yeah.
And I'm not being disrespectful. I genuinely, he wasn't like he was putting it on. This guy just seemed emotional.
No, you're right. He said afterwards he cried more the last 3 days than he's cried his entire life.
I want to play a clip here though of this.
Are you afraid of criticizing him for crying sounding like you're criticizing him for crying?
I realized how what I just said sounded. It sounded like I'm making fun of him. While yesterday I couldn't have enjoyed this story more. This guy's a club pro. Like, he's just barely qualified for this thing, and now he gets to come back next year because he finished top 15.
We should tell the audience, he's a big star. We should tell the audience, the PGA every year, that tournament allows club pros a certain amount to play in the actual tournament. This guy finished in the top 15. No one's ever done that.
The big
made a ton of money.
Not only made a ton of money, but was somebody who was giving lessons for like $150, correct? Like, this kind is part of the story.
Yeah.
Pricey, honestly.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Levitard Show. Was Michael Block overcharging and kind of pricey, charging $150 to get an hour with somebody who finishes top 15 in a major?
He got invited to the next tournament, right?
Or did I read that? He got invited to the next actual tournament, and he qualified for next year's PGA.
He's playing this week because he was such a big star over the weekend, and he automatically qualifies for next year's PGA.
I mean, if I was like his person that he's training, I'd be pissed, right? Like, if I have a lesson set up that I'm paying you for, and now you're canceling it because you're going to go on this little tour because you need attention, I'd be annoyed with that, right?
Oh, someone who had the Tuesday 1:30 PM lesson.
I'm reading the fine print on that contract.
Refund or demand, like, throw papers, lawyers at him. You need to stay here and give me this lesson. We already agreed.
Except the mileage that the people who he trains are getting out of this. Being like, oh, you know, the Block guy, like, I take lessons with him. I also can make a hole in one.
But Jess, your original point is funny, where the knock on all the live guys was you're not playing enough competitive golf. And yet here we go with Koepka, who's not playing any competitive golf.
Well, yeah, and he's
walking
also
out and winning the hardest tournament of the year.
Had like a lot of injury issues early on in his career. But to Charlotte's point, yes, because the number of times that I've heard my dad talk about Butch Harmon is actually despicable. Every person that Michael Block has ever given swing instructions to is going to never shut up about this.
They're
going to
dine on that for years and decades.
The real surprise is how Koepka was able to win this weekend while staying up for all these late Panther games, because we all know he's a diehard Panthers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
He really is. Yeah. Diehard. He knew Aaron Ekblad's bad, and that's you're a real diehard fan if you know that.
The Panthers haven't lost since basically he waved a traffic cone at Ekblad. Right? Correct? They're
pretty close, honestly.
Play that sound of Michael Block getting emotional every third question.
You said it yesterday that this was the best week of your life. What do you call it now?
Thanks, Amanda. I appreciate you making me cry. It's amazing. I'm living a dream. I'm making sure that I enjoy this moment. I've learned that after my 46 years of life that it's not going to get better than this. There's no way. No chance in hell. So I'm going to enjoy this, and thank you. And cheers to the 29,000 PGA Tour professionals, PGA professionals in the world. This is for you guys.
Crocodile tears.
It's always funny. Even though it's heartfelt, but it's just really ridiculous.
Suck it up. Cheers to the 29,000 PGA Tour professionals, PGA professionals in the world. This is for you guys.
Ugly crying is always funny.
And cheers to the 29,000 PGA Tour professionals, PGA professionals in the world. This is for you guys.
It's so mean. Spit it out, Block.
Dan, you cried during Freedom. You have no right.
And cheers to the 29,000 PGA Tour professionals, PGA professionals in the world. This is for you guys.
Gooseys.